as he bored holes into the floor with his eyes.
How could they do this? The teachers have overlooked the misbehavior of the wealthiest students before, but not when one of them assaulted another student. This is too much.
While Jason struggled to control his anger, Mr. Edwards continued. After looking at your file, I can see that you're a gifted student and you don't have a track record for misbehavior. Therefore, we will limit your punishment to a suspension instead of an expulsion. He glanced at Ms. Abrams. I also understand that your parents are out of town, but we have no other choice. Your suspension will last for a week, and your teachers will email your homework assignments during this time. Jason continued to sit there, thoughts racing.
Even my parents aren't here to help. Trees and global warming are always more important to them than I am.
He started to tremble, and he could feel tears of helpless rage build in the corners of his eyes. Jason hadn't spoken for several long moments. Ms. Abrams finally broke the silence by muttering under her breath,
Are you even going to respond? I guess this sort of rudeness is to be expected of a welfare case.
Something in Jason snapped. The flame of his rising anger froze, and he took a deep, calming breath. He didn't need to accept this. Mr. Edwards and Ms. Abrams were both intelligent individuals. They had to know that this was unmitigated bullshit, which meant they were going along with it.
Fine, then. I don't need this school.
Jason stood slowly and looked at Ms. Abrams and Mr. Edwards in turn. Each of them flinched back slightly when his gaze rested on them. Jason paused for a long moment.
You can both go fuck yourselves.
He then turned and began to leave the office. Mr. Edwards and Ms. Abrams stared at his back in shock for a moment. Then Mr. Edwards erupted from his chair.
Do you think that you can speak to us in this way? I have tried to make a concession for you today. However, if you can't show respect, then you should not be attending this school. You are expelled.
Mr. Edwards' words rang with finality. If Jason had turned to look at him, he would have noted his red face and wild eyes. He might have also seen a faint hint of guilt. Jason didn't turn around. He walked out of the office, head held high, and grabbed his bag from the reception desk on the way out. The plump secretary stared at him with wide eyes. She had no doubt heard bits and pieces of the conversation from her desk. Walking towards the exit of the school, Jason's mind was clouded with anger. He didn't care about this school, Mr. Edwards or Ms. Abrams. He knew he was less than a year away from graduating, but he could always remotely attend a public school to complete his senior year.
Why would I want to go to school with people who can physically assault me and then pay to cover it up?
Jason began the walk home. Enough was enough. He had spent most of his life being weak and quiet. He wouldn't take it anymore. A few minutes later, he arrived back at his apartment. His parents were able to afford a nice loft in one of the few apartment buildings near Richmond. Jason expected it must have set them back quite a bit. Most of the residences surrounding the school were small estates surrounded by high stone walls that were guarded with metal gates and security cameras. It was remarkable that a reasonably modest apartment complex stood in the midst of such luxury. Jason knew that the apartment building was owned by an elderly couple that had stubbornly refused to sell over the decades as the neighborhood around them grew in splendor. He admired them for that. Outside the door to the apartment, he saw a small package waiting. He roughly grabbed it on his way inside. Jason looked around at the empty apartment. His parents probably wouldn't be back for at least a week, and it was not unusual for them to extend their trips due to unforeseen delays. In some cases, they hadn't checked their phones for days while they were tackling a particularly hard case. They probably wouldn't hear of his expulsion until they returned, and even then he would probably have to send them a calendar invitation to schedule a time to explain what had happened. Jason glanced down at the package in his hand. He knew it was the copy of A.O. he had pre-ordered. His mind still boiled over with anger. He needed to escape from the thoughts that crowded his head and the harsh reality he would have to face tomorrow. Maybe A.O. was the escape he needed. He calmly opened the packaging as he walked to his bedroom where he kept his helmet, a guilt present he had received from his parents last year when they were gone for 3 weeks straight. If he couldn't vent his anger in this world, he would do it in another. He pulled the copy of A.O. from the box and glanced at a typical sword and sorcery montage that played across the front of the display box. He knew it was unusual to order a physical copy of a game when he could simply download it through the interface for the headset. The box didn't contain anything more than a short serial code to authenticate his copy of the game. However, he liked to collect the boxes for the games he purchased and display them around his room. There was something satisfying about seeing his game collection sitting on a shelf. He activated the VR unit at the base of the pedestal that was sitting next to his bed, and then sat down on the bed. He grabbed the headset and placed it over his head. Immediately, his vision was plunged into darkness. Unlike a typical motorcycle helmet, the front of the headset was completely opaque. The headset soon came alive, and a screen popped up in his field of view. System initializing. Scanning user. Please wait. It had been several months since he had used the headset, and it likely needed to recalibrate. He waited a few moments, and then the notification disappeared. He was now standing in a pristine, circular, white room. Remarkably, he didn't feel any sense of vertigo at the transition between operating his biological body and his digital one. He could feel his hands and feet, and he was able to walk through the room normally. Even though he knew it wasn't real, he occasionally forgot that this scene was only playing out in his mind. He knew that his physical body lay motionless on the bed, and that he was directing a digital representation of himself around the room. Jason had never felt the need to decorate his home, which effectively served as a waiting room and menu for the software installed on the VR unit. He could see two plain wooden doors that stood out against the white backdrop of the room. These were simple educational programs that he had installed months ago to test out the hardware. They had been interesting at first as he played with his new digital body, but had quickly grown dull. He approached a white marble pedestal in the center of the room. "System command, install program," he said aloud. A digital screen appeared in the air above the pedestal, and a semi-transparent keyboard floated in front of him. To think he was using an artificial computer inside of a computer. He typed in Awaken Online and navigated a few menus before beginning the download for the game client. One of the perks of living around rich assholes was that the internet connection in his area was exceptional. The program quickly finished downloading, and he input the serial code when prompted. As soon as the code was entered, the whole room began to swirl around him, and the white room faded away. Chapter 4. Measured. November 23rd, 2074. 678 days until the release of Awaken Online.
Hello?
Claire still seemed camera shy and kept adjusting her glasses self-consciously.
The participants have just begun to play AO, but we have conducted a round of preliminary interviews to get an impression of their first week in-game. Note that each participant is currently limited to 10 hours of real-world playtime each week, so the participants' progress and feedback is likely unrepresentative of the future player base. She smiled at the camera. However, the response from the participants has been overwhelmingly positive. Many were astounded at the realism in the game. A few have actually tried to bribe me for more game time. She looked a bit flustered at this last comment. Many have also told me that AO is quite simply the best game that they have ever played.
Jason could see faint clouds in the sky, and sunlight streamed down upon the mountaintop. Something crunched underfoot, and he looked down to see that snow covered the ground. Below him, he could see the land spread out for thousands of miles, all hills and valleys and flowing rivers.
This must be the game world. I feel like the developers are just trying to brag by using this as a starting point for the game.
Not that he could really blame them. For a moment he forgot his anger as he took in the years of hard work and cutting-edge gaming technology that was being displayed before him. A prompt appeared in the air before him, glowing a translucent blue.
Welcome to Awaken Online. You are the 1,167,989th user to enter this world. Please note that you must read several important disclaimers before you will be allowed to create your character. All players will experience pain while in AO. The setting for your pain tolerance can be changed in the menu, but this feature cannot be removed. Time will pass at an accelerated rate in AO. We estimate that time will pass roughly 3 to 4 times faster in AO than in the real world. System warnings will be provided at regular intervals to ensure that you eat and use the restroom regularly. Failure to respond to these warnings could result in damage to your health. Since the system has recognized that you are over 18 years old, the parental filter has been lifted. If you would like to remove or subdue the level of violence or gore in the game, you may change these settings in the system menu. You may only have one active character at a time while playing AO. Your character must be deleted before you can restart the game with a new character. A restart is only available once every 30 days, so please choose carefully. Finally, there is no right way to play AO. Choose your own path and think carefully about your choices. They will impact both your character and the world around you.
Jason was familiar with the pain tolerance issue from listening to the interview, and he had heard rumors that AO used a form of time compression. This was part of what had held up the development of the game and the approval of the commercial release. A major study had been undertaken to examine the effects of extended time compression on a human mind and to establish that there were no harmful side effects. Cerulean Entertainment had deemed the time compression feature to be important enough to delay the release of the game for years. Jason tended to agree that this technology was essential to promoting realism within the game. There needed to be day and night cycles, and certain activities should take a reasonable amount of time. On the other hand, who wanted to spend days in real life traveling between towns in a video game? However, the last part of the prompt was strange. My actions will affect the world around me? What the hell does that mean? Jason said aloud.
That will become apparent in time, a graveled voice sounded behind him.
Jason turned and was greeted with the sight of an old man sitting on a large stone. He was dressed in a black robe, and his head and body were shrouded by a dark hooded cloak. Jason could make out deep-set wrinkles around his mouth, but could not see his eyes. In his hand he held a gnarled wooden staff. Jason could have sworn for a moment that he saw light reflect off the top of the staff, but when he blinked, the reflection was gone, and he was staring at plain, aged wood. What was most strange about the old man was that he seemed to be sitting in shadow, but as Jason glanced around the mountaintop, there was nothing to cast the shadow. Even the ground around the old man appeared well lit.
"Who are you?" Jason inquired bluntly.
He was still riding high on a wave of anger.
"I am your guide in this world, at least for the moment," the old man replied. "Whether it stays that way will be up to you.
Jason was confused and was reeling from the events of the day. As a result, he wasn't in the mood for evasive word games. That wasn't exactly a clear explanation. "What exactly does being my guide entail?" he snapped.
"I am here to help you create yourself anew, and then send you on your way," the man responded, unperturbed by Jason's rudeness.
"Ah, so you're here to help me create my character." Suddenly, the old man's purpose fit Jason's expectations for a typical MMO. "What do I need to do?"
"A simple question, and then a test of sorts. There are currently no race selections available other than human. You may alter your physical body now. Changes are limited, and your body's appearance will evolve naturally as you gain in strength. Do you wish to make any changes?"
It is interesting that he said that there are currently no other races available. Will that change later? Maybe an expansion? Jason replied, "No changes. I'm fine with who I am." "Am I really?"
"Very well. Next, I will administer a short test. We will begin now."
The man waved his free hand, and the world disappeared again. Jason waited for the world around him to resolve back into color, but after several moments, he was still surrounded by darkness. After waiting for another few minutes without any change, Jason impatiently reached out and felt his hand scrape against something that felt like stone. Listening closely, he could barely make out an occasional faint dripping sound coming from his left.
"I must be in some sort of cave and facing a wall. Count on some creepy old man to test me by dropping me into a cave in the dark."
With few options open to him, he began to inch forward toward the dripping sound, his hand on the wall. He immediately tripped over something and fell. As he was lying on the ground for the third time that day, he wanted to scream in frustration. However, he stopped himself and took a deep breath. Jason felt around on the ground for the object that had tripped him and felt a large stone about twice the size of his hand. He decided to hold on to the stone. He didn't have a weapon, and he didn't know what might be living in the cave. Jason stood slowly and continued forward. He would occasionally trip or stumble in the darkness, cursing under his breath as he walked. It was unclear whether anything lived in the cave, leaving Jason wary of making too much noise. The old man hadn't explained what this test involved, and he didn't want to try out the new pain feedback system by attracting whatever might be living in this cave. He also didn't think that trying to bludgeon something to death in the dark with a big rock would be very effective. It felt like he had walked for hours. Between the events earlier in the day and the old man's nonsensical test, he was ready to snap. The only thing that kept him going was that the dripping sound seemed to be growing louder. That might also have been just his imagination. As he continued forward, he began to notice that it was becoming easier to see. Soon he could make out the faint outline of the walls around him. It was clear that he was walking through some sort of underground tunnel, and his sight eventually became good enough that he no longer needed to run his hand along the wall to make his way forward. Consequently, he began to stumble less and made faster time through the tunnel. The system made a pinging sound as a prompt emerged before his eyes. New passive skill, night vision. For those that live in darkness, this is an essential tool. When this skill reaches higher levels of proficiency, it will allow a player to see clearly in otherwise impenetrable darkness. Skill level, beginner level 1. Effect, 10% increased vision in darkness or near darkness.
I need to make certain that these prompts will not pop up while in combat.
He could just imagine being gored to death because his vision was obscured by a pop-up for some inane skill. Jason looked ahead and could make out a faint glow in front of him. The dripping sound was definitely becoming more distinct. As he approached the glow, the tunnel gradually opened into an enormous cave. Through a large hole in the ceiling, he could make out a full moon. Between his new skill and the moonlight, he could see clearly for the first time in what felt like hours. If he had stumbled into the cave before acquiring the night vision skill, he knew that he would have been nearly blind. He saw a figure standing in front of him near the center of the cave, its back to Jason. The figure was thin and willowy. He assumed it was a woman from its stance. From this distance, the colors were washed out, and he couldn't make out the detail of the woman's clothes. Beside the woman was a small pond surrounded by stones of varying sizes. Water dripped continuously from the edge of the hole in the ceiling into the pool. He supposed that the pond must have been formed by rainwater and runoff from the area above the cave. He approached the figure cautiously. As he grew closer, loose gravel and sand crunched under his foot. The woman turned quickly, and he could now make out her features and clothing. The woman wore an eerily familiar vomit-green sweater. A sense of dread hit Jason as he realized Ms. Abrams was standing in front of him.
Why the hell is she playing A.O.?
Jason's mind scrambled madly for an explanation, but none seemed to come to him.
How is she here? What does she want?
When she caught sight of Jason, Ms. Abrams' lips pinched together in displeasure.
Oh, it's you, she said disdainfully.
Almost immediately, Jason's familiar, beaten demeanor returned, and he cast his eyes down to his hands. He was at a loss for words, and the edge of his anger from the events earlier in the day had been blunted by the long walk through the tunnel.
What? You can't even respond? I should have expected such rudeness from a welfare case. How did you even afford a copy of this game?
Jason's eyes flared with anger at her words, and his hands trembled.
What am I doing? I won't take this abuse from anyone. Not again. Not here.
Games had been his sanctuary, and his way to escape from the constant torment of attending that school. When he played, he could forget that his parents were always gone, and that he was reminded on a daily basis that he wasn't good enough.
I won't let her take this from me. She has taken everything else.
From his peripheral vision, he could see Ms. Abrams approaching him. He held still as she made her way closer at a casual walk. 5 feet, 4 feet, 3.
You really did not deserve to attend our school. To think someone like you could sully its halls.
She continued her tirade as she approached. He looked at the rock in his hand, and the anger that boiled in his veins turned frigid. Suddenly his hand stopped trembling, and a terrible calm overcame him. That's right. This was a game. He could do anything he wanted here, and no one could stop him. He didn't have to bow to the abuse here.
When you first applied for the scholarship program, I told the admissions board they were making a mistake. Some low-class people simply cannot be helped.
The cavern shadows and the moonlight played across Ms. Abrams' body in an unusual way. She appeared to take on a demonic form. Her arms looked emaciated and seemed to glow a sickly green in the moonlight. As they reached for him, her hands looked like hooked claws. When she was within arm's reach of Jason, she reached out and pushed him, roughly. Her hands left jagged rips in his shirt, and he could feel a dull pain in his shoulder.
I begged the former principal to get rid of you. I tried desperately to show him that you were unworthy to attend Richmond. At least Mr. Edwards was able to see you for what you are.
She seemed to hiss out this last part, her face contorted with hate and disgust. For a moment, Jason thought he saw dark horns appear on her head. He continued to stand there mutely, the blood in his veins a frozen river. Ms. Abrams approached him again. The image of her face was burned into his mind. Her eyes were wild with hate, and curved horns seemed to protrude from her forehead. As she opened her mouth, her tongue appeared serpentine and flicked between sharp teeth.
You are nothing but a welfare case.
Ms. Abrams' sentence was cut off as Jason launched forward. He swung his arm carrying the rock with vicious force, putting his rage behind the blow. He felt the force of the contact ripple back through his arm as the stone in his hand connected violently with the side of Ms. Abrams' face. As though in slow motion, he watched her body collapse limply to the ground. He stood there, breathing calmly. Ms. Abrams lay on the ground, her neck strained at an odd angle. Blood pooled around an unnatural indentation in her forehead, and her eyes stared listlessly ahead. There were no signs of either horns or claws, but his shirt was still torn. He fingered the cuts in the fabric in confusion. He looked at the blood-covered rock that he was still holding, as his free hand reached idly for his face, and felt the droplets of blood that clung to his cheeks. Although Jason was unaware of the change, his character's eyes were entirely black. It was strange. He didn't feel any remorse for hitting her, for killing her.
She isn't real. She is only the product of digital signals in my brain. I didn't really kill anyone.
He hesitated.
Even if this isn't real, shouldn't I feel guilty for beating a woman to death with a rock? Shouldn't I feel something?
Well, that was certainly interesting, a voice sounded behind his back.
He knew before turning that it was the old man. His suspicions were confirmed a moment later when he caught sight of the hunched black figure. He was standing behind Jason at the mouth of the entrance to the cavern, staff in hand. In the moonlight, Jason again saw the momentary reflection at the top of the staff. However, this time the reflection lasted a second longer. For a moment, Jason thought he saw the outline of a blade. Then it was gone again.
You did well, child. Not many have the will to bear the tunnel, or the strength to face their fears. However, you went a step further, didn't you?
His hooded head motioned in the direction of Ms. Abrams' body.
You had many choices regarding how to proceed, and yet you did not hesitate to destroy that which you seemed to fear most. I believe you may be worthy of my path.
And what's your path? Jason inquired in an even tone.
The path of darkness. Does it not seem appropriate?
The old man asked this last part while gesturing about the cave.
I sense in you a yearning for more, a hunger for control. You desire power. Those that walk my path will certainly find it.
The old man continued.
My followers are often treated as villains, with no moral code or compass. However, like everything else, the darkness is not inherently evil. The creators merely chose to paint their creations in varying shades of gray. You will come to realize this as well.
The vague explanations are getting old. Did you create this test? How did you know what this woman looked like? How is she even here?
Jason's mind was spinning.
How could the game know that he hated this woman? Was she actually playing the game?
You are standing here, a traveler from another world. Can you not feel the rock in your hand? Do you not see the moonlight? Can you not taste the specks of her blood on your lips? Yet you question how I would know your memories or your fears?
Jason's mind reeled with this explanation. Was this old man saying that the game was accessing his memories and his thoughts? He supposed it was possible. If the headset could send and receive signals from his brain, then that wouldn't be limited to sensory information. Still, many people would be uncomfortable with this invasion into their mind. Actually, uncomfortable was putting it mildly. He couldn't believe that his initiation test had ended with him killing a woman, even if some part of him felt that she deserved this. How would other players have reacted to this situation?
The old man stood there patiently as Jason processed what had happened.
"Do many pass these tests?" he finally asked.
"Test may not be an appropriate word."
The old man's wrinkled mouth twisted in a grin.
"Think of it more as an evaluation. There is no one right way to approach the trial. Each test is different. It depends on the traveler and on the guide."
A prompt appeared in Jason's vision. "Quest completed. Initiation. You have shown admirable will in the face of adversity, and intelligence and foresight in navigating the cave and equipping yourself. You have also faced and conquered your fear. The cruelty and speed with which you have acted and your lack of remorse have been noted by the test administrator. He approves. You have been awarded +100 infamy. You have been awarded +3 to willpower. You have been awarded +2 to intelligence. You have been awarded +1 to endurance. You have been awarded +1 to strength. You have been awarded +1 to dexterity. Path of the Dark unlocked. Attention of the Dark One."
"Interesting. I've already been awarded stat points. I guess it's too soon to evaluate how big of a windfall this may be."
He couldn't help but wonder, though. What would have happened had he continued to accept Ms. Abrams' abuse? Had there been other solutions to this quest that he hadn't noticed? He shook his head. There was no use second-guessing himself after the fact.
"What happens now?" he asked, turning to the old man.
"Now you begin your journey. I will be watching closely."
With a smile and a thump of the old man's staff, he faded from view. And then the cave disappeared. Chapter 5. Infamous. December 16th, 2074. 655 days until the release of Awaken Online.
"Hello again," Claire said as she looked evenly at the camera.
The nervous, nerdy girl had disappeared, and Claire now spoke with energetic efficiency.
"Each of the 100 participants has made substantial progress. Some have already reached level 50. They each seem to be physically unaffected by extended gameplay and report enthusiastic approval of the game."
Claire frowned slightly and paused before continuing.
"The noteworthy aspect of today's report relates to the NPCs and quests in the game. As you know, these processes are controlled by Alfred. The participants have reported that many of the NPCs seem to display incredibly lifelike mannerisms and characteristics. We have confirmed a marked improvement in the quality of NPC interactions since the beginning of the private trial. Our hypothesis is that Alfred has analyzed the player's behavior and incorporated that knowledge into the game. However, that isn't the most significant news."
Claire paused and seemed uncertain how to continue.
"I don't know how to go about substantiating this latest feedback from the participants, but many have reported that the quests they are offered in the game seem to have a personal dimension that relates to something going on in their real-world lives. For example, one participant reported that their newborn child had died recently. Within the last few days, the participant was offered a quest that centered around assisting a woman that had lost her newborn infant. We could chalk this quest up to coincidence, but other participants have reported similar stories."
Claire's frown deepened, and she shook her head.
"We are not certain how to proceed with this information. I wonder whether Alfred has accessed the participants' memories. But the requisite software doesn't exist, and this is contrary to Alfred's secondary directives."
She looked squarely at the camera.
"The CPSC trials have not reported any issues so far. Please,
Let me know if I should investigate whether they're experiencing similar reports. Without drawing any attention to the issue, of course.
This time, the world snapped into existence around Jason, and he found himself standing in a town. It took him a moment to get his bearings. Once his head stopped spinning, he noticed that he was standing in the sort of medieval starting town he had come to expect from every fantasy MMORPG. He could feel a gentle breeze on his skin, and could make out the distant medley of noise given off by an active town. By the position of the sun, he could tell that it was late afternoon in the digital world. He was standing in a medium-sized courtyard, and there were many people idling around him. He assumed that they were other players, since they wore the same drab clothing as him and looked equally confused. Each player was clothed in a simple beige cloth shirt and brown trousers. As far as he could tell, none of the players had weapons equipped or any other items on their person. Some of the players were huddled in groups and were speaking animatedly in hushed tones. They were likely discussing the initiation quest that they had just undertaken. Other players were standing alone and seemed to be staring off into space while making arcane gestures in the air.
This must be a starting point for players entering the game. The other players certainly don't look traumatized, so I doubt that they went through the same type of initiation as I did.
The courtyard had a single exit, and a burly guard was posted on each side. The two guards wore heavy mail and leather armor, and their faces were obscured with heavy metal barbed helmets. Each guard held a spear and had a leather belt cinched to their waist that held a sheathed dagger. They seemed to be ignoring the addle-minded antics of the players in the courtyard. Jason was in no hurry to start gossiping with other players, and he was curious about the stats that he had unlocked as part of his quest. He wanted to check his character screen. He could see that there was now a semi-transparent user interface built into his vision that became more solid as he focused on it. He hadn't noticed this feature while he was in the tunnel. Maybe he hadn't unlocked the UI at that point. At the bottom left-hand corner of his vision, he could see an indicator that looked like a traditional health, mana, and stamina meter. As he focused on the gauge, it centered in his field of view and became more opaque. He could make out more detailed information regarding his remaining vitals overlaying the bar.
At least I won't be chasing my menus in my peripheral vision.
In the bottom right-hand corner, he could see menu tooltips and the name of each icon appeared as he focused on them. There were icons for his skills, equipment, and inventory. He didn't have to hunt through the options for long, since the first icon was listed as character status. He reached out and touched the floating icon with his hand, and his status screen appeared before him. Character status. Name, Jason. Gender, male. Level, 1. Class, blank. Race, human. Alignment, chaotic, evil. Fame, 0. Infamy, 100. Health, 100 of a max of 100. Health regen, 0.30 per second. Mana, 140 out of 140 max. Mana regen, 1.45 per second. Stamina, 110 out of 110 max. Stamina regen, 1.10 per second. Strength, 11. Dexterity, 11. Vitality, 10. Endurance, 11. Intelligence, 12. Willpower, 13.
At least this explains why some players in the courtyard are making strange gestures in the air. Maybe they don't need to be hospitalized. He also noted that his character's name had been set as Jason. He suddenly realized that the old man had never asked him for a character name. Perhaps he had skipped this process by opting not to change anything about his character. Or perhaps this was somehow a result of the deeply personal initiation test.
Oh, well, I'm comfortable with my own name. It's not like anyone would recognize me by my name alone. There are likely a million Jasons in the world. His stats were respectable. Now that he had a sense of his base stats, he realized the rewards from the initiation quest had effectively granted him a free level or two. Apparently, all he had to do was kill a woman. For a moment, Ms. Abrams' bloody face flashed in his mind's eye, her skull unnaturally concave. He still didn't feel any sense of shame or remorse. He just felt cold. He couldn't decide if this was a bad thing. The portion of his character status he was uncertain about was his alignment, infamy. Maybe he was listed as evil based on how he had handled the confrontation with Ms. Abrams. According to the quest completion prompt, that had also apparently gained him the attention of the Dark One. Maybe that old man was some sort of deity in this world. The old man hadn't seemed particularly evil. Only a bit arcane in his explanations. Of course, this ignored the part where he had seemed pleased that Jason had beaten his vice principal to death. He wished he had a better sense of what type of god the old man might be, and what it meant to have captured his attention. He shook himself out of his reverie.
I expect that answer will work itself out in time.
He glanced over at the two guards. I guess I may as well start exploring the town and see what it has to offer. He approached the guards and greeted them.
Hello. Could the two of you help me?
What do you want?
One of the guards responded gruffly, his shadowed eyes boring into Jason. Jason hesitated.
What exactly do I want?
I suppose I need money and probably weapons. Maybe I should ask for some sort of training hall, or a place I can find work around town.
Is there somewhere in this town that can provide weapon training, or a place where I can find work?
We don't help your kind here, and I doubt you'll find any work here in Lux, the guard responded with a bark.
The name of the town must be Lux. But what's with his aggressive attitude?
What do you mean, my kind?
You think we can't see a killer when he stands in front of us? The look in your eyes says it all. Be glad I don't gut you where you stand,
the guard responded curtly and turned away from Jason.
What was that? How could they know about Ms. Abrams?
Jason had a flash of inspiration and spoke with a cocky grin.
And why can't you attack me? You seem like you're itching to do so.
Glaring daggers at him, the guard replied,
By the laws of this city, we cannot attack citizens or travelers unless we see a crime being committed. Trust me, if it were otherwise, your body would already be cooling on the ground.
Good to know.
Jason stepped further back into the courtyard to think for a moment and consider his next steps. He had reached the conclusion that the guard's behavior must have something to do with both his alignment and the infamy he had received from completing the quest. The guards and other NPCs must be able to sense those characteristics when they interacted with players, and the game AI tailored their reactions accordingly.
It isn't entirely realistic, but I guess I can understand that some NPCs might be more sensitive to my alignment and infamy. Guards especially might have a natural intuition for evil acts. Maybe the reaction of the other NPCs will be less extreme. I expect there are also evil alignment NPCs in the city that won't be bothered by my alignment.
The guard had also revealed some interesting information. No matter how heinous his crimes or how angry they were with Jason, the guards in Lux likely wouldn't attack him outright unless they caught him doing something stupid. That meant he could do a number of illegal things, so long as they didn't catch him in the act. His infamy and alignment did leave Jason with a small problem, however. In most games he played, he tended to assume the hero role. He regularly helped others in need, and took quests that involved vanquishing some bad guy or saving some village. He was accustomed to relieving his real-world anger and frustration with digital violence, but he was usually able to do so under the guise of helping someone. This was a strange change of pace.
I bet I can find a way to remove the infamy and improve my alignment if I go about my normal routine. I likely just need to ignore the glares and rude behavior and try to help a few people in need.
On the other hand, now that he thought about it, most of those do-gooder quests often involved fetching inane objects or performing some task the quest-giver could probably have accomplished himself. If Jason spent a large amount of time in this world, would he really want to be at the beck and call of some lazy slob who could have helped himself? Or worse, he would probably end up performing tasks for the lavishly rich. He cringed at the thought of taking orders from Alex.
Maybe I should embrace the change. It's a bit different than the way I normally play, but who knows? Maybe I'll enjoy it.
Jason was standing a few yards away from the guards, and he was out of earshot. He saw a group of energetic players approach the exit. The guards seemed much more affable with this new group, gesturing and pointing in a way that indicated that they were giving directions. Likely the players had posed questions similar to Jason's, and the guard had readily helped them.
Maybe I can follow the group of players to find the weapon trainer and the inn. Screw that guard. I will make my way on my own.
Jason followed the group of players out of the courtyard. He made certain to look the offending guard in the eye and wink as he passed by. He received an angry glare in response, and the guard's hand clenched around the shaft of his spear. Maybe it would be fun to play the villain after all. He kept a cautious distance as he followed the group down the street. Jason glanced at the sky and noted the position of the sun. The players were heading east. The buildings on either side of the street were mostly two-story affairs, built of a mixture of stone and wood. The structures were crammed together in a ramshackle fashion, resulting in a winding cobblestone road through the town. Occasionally, Jason noticed darkened, narrow alleys between two buildings, and he could make out other busy streets through such passages. The road was also full of townspeople making their way about their business. Women carried bundles of food and linen, and children ran around their skirts. The occasional wagon would trundle down the path carrying produce, hay, and lumber. For the most part, the residents' clothing was clean and well cared for, but not luxurious. Jason assumed he must be walking through the medieval equivalent of the middle-class portion of the town. He observed the group of players ahead of him. He noted that they spoke with each other informally. They were clearly friends in real life. They made loud comments about the people and the town, which stood out in stark contrast to the natural way that the NPCs behaved. It was like watching a group of teenagers attending a local Renaissance fair. They would frequently slow and point blatantly at people and buildings. For the most part, the NPCs seemed to ignore them. Putting up with tourist players was likely commonplace here. The road ultimately led into a large circular marketplace, crammed with people and wooden stalls. Shouts could be heard from NPCs peddling different wares. The market was swarming with NPCs and players, and it took Jason a moment to absorb the chaos. The lack of tall buildings afforded Jason his first opportunity to survey the town in the distance. He could make out thick stone walls that circled the enclave of buildings that made up Lux. What really grabbed his attention, however, was the stone keep that sat on the northeast corner of the marketplace. The keep was built of enormous stone blocks and stood several stories tall. The parapets and walls were dotted with arrow slits. A massive, 15-foot-tall wooden gate opened onto the marketplace. This wasn't a town. It was a city.
Oh, crap. Where did the players go?
During his own tourist moment, Jason had lost sight of the group.
They can't have gone far.
and I am certain they will stand out with their stupid behavior." He scanned the crowd around him frantically, and then heard a nearby shout.
"Hey! They sell Harry Potter wands over here!"
Jason face-palmed and headed toward the idiot player's voice. He soon caught sight of the group, standing in front of a stall, admiring a set of intricately carved wands that were being sold by a bored and slightly irritable-looking man sitting on a stool. From the look on the NPC's face, this wasn't the first group of players that had stopped at his stall that morning. As Jason leaned against a nearby building and kept an eye on the players, he overheard two nearby merchants speaking.
"The goods aren't moving as fast as they used to."
The other merchant nodded in understanding.
"Times have been much harder around here lately. I barely sold anything this last week."
The first merchant pointed at the gate.
"It doesn't help that the keep stays closed all the time now. Some people are starting to say that the regent has either gone senile or gone on to the next life."
"Eh, that's just people talking. How could the regent have gone off his rocker without people noticing?" the second merchant inquired.
"And if he was dead, we would know. I'm certain the nobles would already be squabbling over the scraps of the kingdom."
Jason noticed that the group of players was growing bored with the wands and were about to leave. He glanced over at the two merchants trading sob stories and then hurried after the players. He followed the group the rest of the way to their destination without incident, and soon found himself standing in front of a fenced-in training ground. Jason watched as dozens of players animatedly beat straw dummies to death with various types of wooden weapons. The training ground abutted the eastern wall of the city and was flanked by large stone buildings. Jason guessed that these must be some type of barracks for the local guardsmen. He saw several heavily armored men dressed in the same fashion as the guards from the starting courtyard coming and going from the longhouses. He also noticed a smaller building located near the center of the training ground. If this area was set up like his school, then this was likely an administrative office for the guards. As Jason looked around, he saw a man standing near several barrels full of wooden weapons and instruments. The group of players he had been following ran up to the man, grabbed weapons from the barrels, and then took off at a jog toward the dummies. Presumably, their goal was to start committing genocide against the dummy race as soon as possible. As he approached the man near the barrels, Jason received two notifications. New passive skill, tracking. You have carefully identified and stalked your prey. Not all tracking involves following wild animals, and this skill has many applications. At higher levels, nothing will be able to escape you. Skill level beginner level 1. Effect, 5% increased chance to pick up your target's trail. New passive skill, perception. You have carefully observed and evaluated both your environment and the people around you. You have caught details and behaviors that typically go unnoticed by the inattentive and ignorant. At higher levels, many people may start to suspect you're psychic. Skill level beginner level 1. Effect, 5% increased chance to discover traps and unnoticed details.
Skill acquisition seems to depend heavily on my actions.
The hours spent in a pitch-black tunnel were still fresh in Jason's mind. He approached the man standing next to the barrels. Jason assumed that he must be the weapon trainer. He was an average-sized man in his 50s with graying hair. His face and arms were riddled with scars. He wore durable-looking leather armor, pockmarked with scratches and dents. The man was leaning against a barrel, gazing with a bored expression at the players as Jason approached. Jason greeted the man, mentally crossing his fingers that he wouldn't get turned away instantly.
"Hello, sir. I was wondering if you could train me to use a weapon?"
The trainer eyed Jason up and down for a moment.
"I suppose so. What type of weapon do you want to learn to use?"
I keep trying to follow MMO stereotypes and then getting tripped up by these simple questions. I know I need to learn to use some kind of weapon, but which one? I really didn't give this much thought. He decided to go with honesty. I really don't know. I have no idea what type of enemies I'll be fighting, and I don't know what role best suits me. However, I need to have some way to defend myself. Unbelievably, the trainer grinned at Jason.
That is the first smart thing I've heard from you tourists today.
Did he just say tourists? He rubbed his stubbled chin with one hand and appraised Jason.
You have the look of someone who won't be standing on the front lines. You also don't seem the type to wear heavy armor. You are lean and look like you have some speed. You strike me as the sort that will probably avoid fighting yourself unless you absolutely have to.
He paused for a moment and eyed Jason carefully.
You also have the look of someone who isn't above sucker-punching your foe. Daggers and throwing knives. Definitely small-bladed weapons, he finally decided.
Why knives? Jason asked. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I just want to understand your reasoning. This actually seemed to amuse the trainer more.
Oh, a tourist with a brain. I never thought I would see the day. Daggers and knives have many uses. They can be thrown. They can be easily hidden on your person to convince someone you're unarmed. Different types of blades can cause terrible bleeding, and they allow someone proficient to kill quickly and quietly.
Actually, his idea seems decent. I can't really see myself wielding a sword or spear, or hauling a bow and quiver around with me all the time. Jason was also beginning to suspect that the weight-carrying system in AO would be just as realistic as the rest of this game. He didn't plan on spending his time weight-training or dumping points into strength so that he could carry around bundles of equipment.
Okay, I agree. That sounds like a good idea. How do I go about training with knives?
Well, normally I would tell you to take these two wooden things and wail on a dummy several hundred times using different types of attacks. But you seem like a smart guy, so I will help you out. Go to the sow's snout by the south gate and ask for Jerry. Tell him that Rex sent you, and he will show you how to use these stickers for real. The annoying bastard still owes me a favor.
New quest. Small blade training. Rex has identified you as the sort of person that avoids direct confrontation and is not afraid to use underhanded tactics. He has suggested that daggers and knives are the weapons for you, and has proposed that you find Jerry at the sow's snout to obtain training. Difficulty? C. Success? Meet Jerry. Failure? Die before meeting Jerry. Reward? Formal training in the use of small blades. What the hell is this? Why is this a quest? And why is it a C difficulty? Also, why does it seem to imply that I might die? Jason was familiar with the RPG convention of assigning letter values to indicate the danger of a quest or quality of an item. Higher letter values usually indicated higher difficulty or better quality. For example, an A difficulty quest would be harder than a C difficulty quest. However, unless the difficulty scale was heavily compressed in AO, he would have expected an F difficulty quest to obtain initial weapon training. Maybe the quest difficulty is relative to my level and skills. That would actually make more sense than there being an objective range of difficulties for all quests in the game. Regardless, that still means this is going to be challenging. Jason was also reflecting on why the trainer seemed so friendly, especially after the gruff treatment he had received from the guards. Why help Jason with special training when the couple dozen players behind him were beating dummies to a pulp? Thank you for the help. I'm curious, though. Why exactly are you helping me?
Well, it's my job, Rex replied. I guess you could consider me something of a mercenary. The guard pays me to help train and equip.